believing God is good when life is not. And I don't know about you, but you might have been in this position. If you're human, you probably have been in this position where you know God is good, but life doesn't seem to be good, and you're juggling between the two. And I wanted to let you know that along with this sermon series, there on your phone, if you have a phone, there's a Bible app. I don't know if you want to put that up there, Bob. They can have a look at what it looks like. Is there another one? There we go. So there's a Bible app, the little Holy Bible symbol there. You can click on it, download it. You can even do it during service, okay? Because one of our core values is spending time daily in Word and Scripture, or in prayer and Scripture. In it is Hope in the Dark, written by Craig Groeschel, who wrote the book called Hope in the Dark, because I'm going to answer the question of how do we get here. A few weeks ago, when Hurricane Florence was coming through, I felt like literally like Hurricane Florence was moving through us as a church family. I started making a list, actually, of all the lives that were falling apart. And I was like, Lord, what is going on? What is going on? Like, it literally felt like Florence was like, whoop. It's like she knew where Barryford Methodist Church was, and she was coming in. And so I asked the church board to fast and pray with me. So I'm like, what is going on? Like, it literally felt like the world was coming to an end in so many people's lives in our church family. And so I went online, and I'm just like, okay, Lord, I need something. I need something for me just to give me some hope, to give me some hope that you really do know what you're doing. I know that sounds really strange for a pastor to say, but it's true. I often am like, God, do you even know what's going on? And so I encourage you, as we go through this sermon series, this devotional, Hope in the Dark, it's 12 days, so that'll, depending on if you do it every day or not, I found it very helpful. Just keeping my mind focused on, is God truly good, even in the midst of the darkness? And so as I wrestled through this, I got to this video by Craig Groeschel that literally said Hope in the Dark, and I'm like, I need to listen to that. Click. And I started watching it, and I was like, wow, this would be a really great sermon series. And so here we are doing a sermon series on a wee book of the Bible called Habakkuk. And you might be thinking, what did she just say? And you can either say it Habakkuk or Habakkuk. Either way is appropriate. I went online to one of those, like, how do you say this, like, websites? And they said Habakkuk. And then another one said Habakkuk. And I was like, I don't care how you say it, okay? It's this wee book of the Bible. It's in the minor prophets section of the Bible. So if you go to Matthew, which is the beginning of the New Testament, and you go backwards, you're going to get Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Habakkuk. All right? It's really hard to say the books of the Bible backwards. He's there. And a minor prophet doesn't mean that what he has to say is minor and you don't have to pay attention. Minor just means it's small, okay? He's three chapters long, and he wrote the book of Habakkuk about 600 years before Christ. And a prophet, I said he was a minor prophet, a prophet is simply an individual who talks to people on behalf of God and talks to God on behalf of people. So there's a huge section of the Bible that's actually called the prophetic section. All right, you have the major prophets and you have the minor prophets. The major prophets are basically, they were around for a long time, so their ministry was really long. So you get to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all those books are like 47 plus chapters. Daniel, his book's only 12 chapters long, but because his ministry was his entire life, he's considered a major prophet. There you go. See, I do remember some things from seminary. All right, so Habakkuk. And so here he is, this wee little book of the Bible, and he isn't really talking to the people on behalf of God. He's talking to God on behalf of the people because he didn't like what was happening in Judah. And Judah is the nation of Israel. It was split because of sin, basically. They wanted to do their own thing. And so anyways, Habakkuk didn't like what was happening in Judah, and there was corruption and deception everywhere. And so he asks God the very same question that so many people ask God today. And the question is this: are you there, God? Okay, church can be an honest place. How many of you have ever asked that question, are you there, God? Oh, good, I'm in good company. And the rest of you are just shy. Are you there, God? Because he's looking around and he's like, we're the promised people. Why is all this bad stuff happening to us? Why is the violence happening? Why is this happening? And he's struggling because he knows God can intervene, but God isn't intervening. I have asked God that question so many times. I know you could intervene, God, but why aren't you? Why aren't you? And so the book of Habakkuk starts off this way because Habakkuk receives a vision from the Lord in Habakkuk 1:1. And this vision, or this, it says prophecy. When you go to the Hebrew, because the Bible was originally written in Hebrew, the Old Testament. And if you look up what that word means, it actually means a burden or a weight or something of doom. And you're like, wow. So Habakkuk receives this message of doom, and what does he do? He doesn't go on Facebook, he doesn't go on Snapchat, and he doesn't call all of his friends. He goes to God. It's the very first thing that he does. And that, to be honest, is the first thing that we all need to do when we receive a message of doom. The very first thing that we need to do is we need to go to God. I've actually said that to God a couple times this week when something has happened, and I want to be like, okay, I need to talk to God about that first. And the reason we talk to God about that first is because we really believe that he knows everything and he has the answers to everything. This past week I went to a concert and I was really thirsty. And so I went up and I was going to buy a bottle of water. And I said, can I have a bottle of water, please? And they said, yes, that'll be $4.95. And I went, I'm really thirsty. I guess I'll pay for it. And then I said, by any chance, you wouldn't just give me a cup of tap water, would you? And he's like, yes. I'm like, you'll give me a cup of tap water? He's like, well, all you have to do is ask. I was like, oh. And what's interesting is the ladies that I was with are like, so that's going to show up in a sermon sometime, isn't it? I was like, yes, it is. And I didn't know it would be this soon. But it's true. Like, we just don't ask. We think God isn't really interested in our questions. And so Habakkuk just asks. He's like, this is what it says. It says, how long, Lord, must I call for help because you do not listen? Or cry out violence, but you do not save. He's not saying it like this. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? No, he's like passionate about this. Like, how long? How long? Do you not see what's going on? Like, he is ticked off. He is ticked off because of what he sees that's going on. And what's interesting is that the name of Habakkuk means to wrestle and embrace. Isn't that interesting? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes wrestling looks like hugging, and hugging looks like wrestling. All right? But it's the same word. It's the same Hebrew word, to wrestle or to embrace. And that's what Habakkuk is doing, because what he sees doesn't line up with what he believes. So he's wrestling. He's wrestling. He's wrestling. And he's embracing. He's wrestling because he doesn't like what's going on. And yet he's embracing God and his truth. And you're like, she just shook the Bible. I did. It can take it. It's brand new. But God can take our shaking. I want you to hear that. God can take our shaking. God can take your shaking. It doesn't offend him. We think it might, but it doesn't. And that's what Habakkuk is doing, because he doesn't understand what's going on. And so his name, he's fitfully named to wrestle and to embrace. And the next part says this, because life is not a sitcom. In the 80s, I grew up watching Different Strokes. What are you talking about, Willis? I was watching the Jeffersons, moving on up. I watched The Facts of Life. I watched Family Ties. And the cool thing about a sitcom is that it starts off rosy and friendly, and then something happens, and it's resolved by the end in 30 minutes, including commercials. Life is not a sitcom. Life is not a sitcom. One phone call often doesn't fix everything. I wish it would. One prayer often doesn't fix everything. I wish it would. I wish it would. I wish it would. Life is not a sitcom. Life is not a sitcom. And that's something that Habakkuk was struggling with. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me, and there is strife and conflict abounds. Like, he was under the understanding that we are God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people. So why is all this happening? Why are you letting all of this violence happen? And we can say the same thing as believers. I thought that once I prayed that prayer and surrendered everything to Jesus, that I would have the life to the max, right? John 10:10, you hear me say it all the time. I have come that you would have life and life to the full. And we start to struggle because, you know, you have a great job and then something happens and they're downsizing, or you just make the wrong thing, do the wrong thing at work, and you're like, and you get fired. And you're like, what? I thought. And then you're like, no problem, God will provide. And then a day goes by, and a week goes by, and a month goes by, and a year goes by, and years go by, and you're like, God, where are you? Because life is not a sitcom. Or you finally meet that girl or the guy of your dreams, and everything seems to be coming together, and you get married and you have this wonderful family, and then she comes home one day and she's like, I don't love you anymore. And you're like, but God, I thought that if we stood before you, everything would be good and you'd just fix everything. And you go to counseling and it just, life just doesn't seem to be coming back together. Or you've been sick, and you've been sick for a while, and you're like, I thought that if I prayed in faith, that God would heal me. And he hasn't. Life is just not a sitcom. It's not all solved in the moment. And so we come to this thing called the crisis of belief. Because what we thought was supposed to happen if we served God isn't happening. What we see doesn't match up with what we know. What we see just doesn't match up with what we know, and we start this wrestling. And so we have three choices to make. So I've actually clipped out a part of Craig Rochelle's message. Now, he's a little intense, so if you have a hearing aid, you might want to turn it down. If belief comes, we can just deny it or give up. We can just give up, and we can go back to the beginning. And Jesus says that to his disciples. He said when there was just a crisis going on and people were leaving him, and he says to Peter, are you going to leave me too? And Peter looks at him and he's like, where else would I go? So, but that is a valid choice. When life is happening and it doesn't match up with who we know God is, but life isn't, there's a disconnect, we can choose to actually give up. Or the next one is deny. You can just be like, life is good, everything is good. That's like the shiny, happy face that we put on when we come to church, right? Because we don't want everybody else to know. And we just deny. Or stuff really is happening in your life and you're just like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. God will take care of it. It's okay. It's okay. it's not okay. But you're just really good at putting on the shiny, happy face. Or there's the third one, which is press on. And I loved how he did that. He's like, you choose in that crisis of belief to keep moving forward, even though it seems to be getting darker. And that passage, it says from James 1, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. So let it grow. And I love the fact that the X on the next spot is higher than the previous X. Because it produces this deep abiding maturity in us. It's hard. It is hard to continue on. I'm going to be honest. It's easy for me to say it. It's something totally different to actually say yes and move in that direction. And I remember I've had those times where I've just wrestled, where it has felt like physically wrestling with the Lord. Like, do you not see? Do you not see what's going on? And being ticked off and probably using a couple swear words in there, because that's the unsanctified version of myself. And I have to be willing that when God says, that's enough, am I willing to continue my relationship with God or just to turn away? And every time I've chosen to continue on, it has brought a deeper, abiding joy. And so that's what Habakkuk does. He wrestles, he embraces, and then when we ask the question, is it okay to question God, the answer is yes, because of this. My faith in God grows, not because I stay where I am, but because I continue to wrestle and embrace. Your faith in God grows because you continue to press on, to wrestle, to embrace, to ask the questions. To ask the questions and then spend time with God to get answers or other godly people who are praying with you through this. And the great thing is that God responds. And this is just so exciting because God responds. And then God says this, which is even more exciting. Look at this. This is Habakkuk 1:5. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you will not believe, even if you were told. And you're like, yeah, something good's going to happen. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Verse 6. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Well, not what Habakkuk expected. Right? When you think that things couldn't get any worse, God calls in the Babylonians. And these weren't like little munchkins coming in to solve a problem. No, they were violent people. They laid siege to Jerusalem for 2 years to the point that people inside were eating their own children. They are a violent people. And so when God said to Habakkuk, I'm going to raise up this people to come and deal with what your issues are, he's like, what are you even talking about? That's not what I expected. Can't you just make this all go away? And so Habakkuk wrestles and he embraces. He takes what he sees and he puts it up to who he knows God is, because that's the only option for him. And that's what he does in Habakkuk 1:12-13. And the green part is his response, right? So he says, the white is the actual text, but the green part I added in is for the response. It says, Lord, are you not from everlasting? So he's embracing him. He's embracing the truth. And then he's like, God, my Holy One, you'll never die. So he's still embracing the truth. And then it goes on and it says, "You, Lord, have appointed our enemies to execute judgment." I'm wrestling because I don't understand. So I'm wrestling with you. My rock, I'm embracing. Do you see how he's going back and forth? He's embracing God and he's wrestling with God. "You've ordained them to punish. So I'm wrestling with you. I don't get it. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil." That's the truth of God. I'm embracing your truth. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. This is your truth and I'm embracing your truth. Well, then why then do you tolerate the treacherous? So I'm wrestling with what's going on. Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? I'm trying to embrace you. And I'm trying to wrestle this out. It's not easy. And so many of you have been there. Because life is not a sitcom. Life is not a sitcom. Your child is born with something and it doesn't go away. And you're like, "God, a little bit of grace would be really good." Or you get a diagnosis from the doctor and it's just not going away and you've suffered with it for years. And you start to question, if God is so good, then why? I want to encourage you that we're all there. We're all there. And that's why it's so important to wrestle and embrace. Because often, and I've said it to myself so many times, I know you're good. I know you're good. I don't get what's going on, but I know you're good. I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't want it. Take it away. But I know you're good. I know you're good. I know you're good. I know you're good. So I need you to put these things together for me. And so that's my encouragement to you today, is to wrestle with God. Because what if honestly acknowledging your doubts is your first step towards building a deeper faith? What if embracing your secret questions opens the door for a maturing knowledge of God's character? What if drawing closer to God, developing genuine intimacy with Him, requires you to bear something that feels unbearable? And what if it takes real pain to experience deep and abiding hope? The question is it worth it? I want to say yes. It's easy to say no in the moment. It is so easy to say it's not worth it because we don't necessarily see it ending anytime soon. But what if real pain takes you to a place of experiencing something far beyond good? But it takes wrestling and embracing. So I want to encourage you this morning, this isn't really a sitcom sermon either. It's not going to end all warm and fuzzy and wow, that was good. Don't deny your doubts, but let your doubts drive you to God. Let your doubts drive you to God. Sit with Him. Wrestle it out with Him. What is the word that God has given you? And if God has never given you a word, then know this one phrase: I know you're good. And so we're going to be quiet for a minute. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And you're going to have a God moment. And if you're in that place today where you are wrestling with God and you want prayer to help just take that next step into the valley, I'm going to ask that you'd raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. So if that's you today, you raise your hand. So Heavenly Father, you see the hands that are raised. They're walking in this valley that need that step. They need this. They need your hope. They need your strength to take that next step into the valley, because it's going to get darker before it gets lighter. And so, Lord, I ask that
you would give them the strength that they need. The strength that they need to trust you. The hope that they need to trust you. The faith that they need to trust you. And we know that you're always present, so that they would experience your presence in a deep, abiding way this morning. That they might not walk out of here with everything solved and everything rosy and everything great, but they do walk out with your hope that you're going to be with them, that you will strengthen them, that you will encourage them, that you'll just, like, give them that deep, abiding joy that they need to take the next step. That when they ask the question, God, are you there? That they sense your spirit with them immediately, knowing, I'm here. I'll help you. I'll help you. Father God, I know that we're not necessarily leaving in a warm, fuzzy spot. So I ask that you would meet our people this morning. Those that are struggling, those that are wrestling, I ask in your name that you would meet with them in a powerful way, reminding them that you are here and that you are good. And God, as we open up this time of prayer, the prayer rails, Lord, you said that I'd meet with you if you just called me. Like, I just needed to ask for that cup of water. We just need to ask and talk to you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would meet with us during this time. We pray this in your name. Amen.